Today's big question is, how do you feel about the midterm election results? What is your greatest hope or fear now? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 5th. Well, it was a big night for Republicans nationally and here in Wisconsin. Why did Republicans do so well at the ballot box? And what does this mean for all of us? Governor Walker credits his win to his positive message.
I believed all along if we got a positive message out, then in the end, people of the state wanted to be for something, not against something. And look what happened tonight.
What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have two guests with different political perspectives to discuss the election results this hour. In our first segment, we are happy to have with us Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison, the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. He also writes the Citizen Dave blog for Isthmus. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, to what do you attribute Governor Walker's win?
Well, first of all, let me acknowledge that the Bucks won last night. So I'm pretty excited about that. Governor Walker, frankly, ran a pretty good campaign. He was well-funded. He was relentless about his message. I disagree that his message was relentlessly positive. It was quite a negative campaign, but and the Republicans, I have to give them credit, really have stepped up their field game. Their work in turning out the vote has really grown remarkably. Used to be the Democrats had a big advantage in the ground game, and the Republicans seem to have caught up and maybe then some. So, you know, Democrats were hoping that high turnout election would be good for Mary Burke and other Democrats. Turned out not to be the case. So I have to give Governor Walker credit where it's due. I do think that in a political craft sense, he ran a good campaign, good technical campaign, and the Republicans overall did a remarkably good job of getting their vote out.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think Mary Burke did not make it as close as some thought it was going to be?
Well, it's hard to say. I think Mary Burke was as good a candidate as the Democrats were going to get this time. Her profile was just about perfect for the issue that Democrats wanted to raise, which was about jobs. The governor promised 250,000 jobs, had said explicitly that the voters should hold him to that, hold him accountable for it. And the Democrats were going to take that issue and run with it. And Mary Burke seemed ideally positioned to do that with her background and her business experience in commerce. And she could, of course, self-fund to some extent. She was a woman, which didn't hurt. So there was a lot about Mary Burke to like. And she also ran a good campaign. I think the Democrats, again, I can't really fault them. A couple things I might have done differently. But I don't really think it was a referendum on Mary Burke. It was, frankly, people looking at Scott Walker and saying, well, I think he's done well enough in the last 4 years, and we're going to stick with him.
Yeah. So our political analyst in our last hour said that in order for Mary Burke or any Democrat to have won last night in Wisconsin in particular was that we needed presidential level turnout, presidential election level turnout, and did not get it.
Yeah, we didn't quite get the turnout that was needed, although it was still quite high. And we didn't, from a Democratic perspective, get the sort of margins that we needed in the big counties, Dane County and Milwaukee, that were needed. I think the last time I looked at the numbers last night, the total margin for Democrats between Dane and Milwaukee was something like 165,000. That needed to be much higher. And so, you know, it comes back to what we've been saying all along. In midterm elections, there's an enthusiasm gap between Republicans and Democrats. And the party in power, technically in power, that is the party that holds the White House, tends to drop off in the midterms. And so those two things combined kind of set this up to be a bad year for Democrats. Now, it turned out to be just about as bad as it possibly could be. But Mary Burke was swimming upstream against pretty strong currents.
Yeah. Well, any thoughts on the Attorney General's race? We have the Republican candidate Brad Schimmel defeating the Democratic candidate Susan Happ.
Yeah, that was a particularly disappointing race, I thought. Something like 70% of Wisconsinites said that they really didn't know much about either candidate. I watched the ads closely and concluded that they were both child molesters. I mean, the ads were terrible. They didn't address what I felt were two of the most significant issues that our state faces, drunk driving and African-American incarceration. We lead the nation in both of those issues, and yet neither campaign really wanted to talk about either of those issues at all. So it was really sort of an issue-free campaign, and I think what happened there was the numbers almost perfectly tracked the gubernatorial numbers. So I think what happened was voters went into the voting booth. They knew who they were going to vote for governor, and then they just followed that down to the next line to attorney general.
There were three state Senate seats that the Democrats were targeting and hoping to claim and try to reclaim the political power of the state Senate. That did not happen. One of the ones we were watching was Republican Dale Schultz's seat, where a conservative Republican won over the Democratic candidate. What does that say to you?
Well, that was the most disappointing thing, I think, for Democrats. Mary Burke had an uphill fight, but there was thought, especially early on, that these were three seats that the Democrats could win. They knew that they were going to lose one down in the southeast part of the state, but picking up two seats net would have given them the majority, just barely, 17-16. And Democrats really thought that they had a chance to do this. So for the Republicans to run the board to take all three, and some of those races weren't that close, is really disappointing, probably the most disappointing thing about the evening. And in the Dale Schultz seat, the 17th, Schultz had all but endorsed the Democrat, mm-hmm. Pat Bomhack. He hadn't quite done that, but he had said very positive things about Bomhack, and it was all but an endorsement. And yet, even with that, Howard Markline did squeeze out a victory. So very discouraging for Democrats. It means that the Republican majority is actually increased. So Democrats had hoped that they could maybe take the majority back, and instead the Republican majority is increased. And even in the Assembly, where they already had a substantial majority, the Republicans were up 60-39. They even picked up three seats in the Assembly to add to that majority. So not a lot of good news this morning if you're a Democrat.
I'm interested in your take on Wisconsin voters also yesterday approved a constitutional amendment that would prevent the state's transportation fund from being used to pay for any other need in the state. This one, we actually talked to Fred Risser, who was against this proposal, saying that, you know, why should we protect, you know, the road builders as opposed to everybody else? What was your take on this amendment?
I thought there was less there than met the eye. The state has had a transportation fund since 1946, and basically your gas taxes you pay, your vehicle registration fees, a bunch of other smaller revenue sources go into the transportation fund, and then the transportation fund is supposed to be used to build highways, but do everything else in the transportation realm as well. So aids to municipalities for their mass transit systems, aids to local governments for their road systems, bike and pedestrian projects, even harbors, rail lines, aeronautics, airports, all that stuff comes out of the transportation fund. That's the way it's been since the 1940s. What this amendment did was it constitutionalized it, so it moved it into the Constitution, which means that money cannot be taken from the transportation fund for other purposes. And this was a response, and it was, in fact, led by the road builders, a response to some moves during the Doyle administration where, faced with some tight budgets, Governor Doyle moves some money out of the transportation fund, in one case to fund education, in another case to fund just a general hole in the general fund. Although if you look at that throughout the years, there's actually been a net subsidy from the general fund to the transportation fund. In any event, I didn't think this was a huge issue. We were essentially taking a long-term practice and putting it in the Constitution so that now it's locked in and solidified. I tend to agree with Senator Risser. It probably wasn't the best thing for the state to tie its hands in this way, but on the other hand, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
We are talking with Dave Cheslevich. He's the former mayor of Madison, executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation now, talking with him about the election results, getting his take, getting his analysis as to what happened and why. And we'll talk some about where we go from here. And we want to get your calls in, too, and we'll get to them right after the break. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's going to be cloudy and mild today. Periods of rain throughout the day, mixing with snow this afternoon. Highs in the 40s and low 50s. Coming up this afternoon on Central Time. Central Time will also talk with guests to analyze the 2014 midterm election results. That's what we are doing all morning long with guests from many different perspectives. Right now we are talking with the former mayor of Madison, the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation, Dave Cheslevich. Coming up in our next half hour, we will welcome in former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens. Let's go to some phone calls. Jocelyn in Sheboygan is with us now. Hello, Jocelyn.
Yes, good morning. I'm totally disgusted. I knew he was going to win. Who really won were the polluters and the developers that have no consideration whatsoever for the environment. The people that voted for Scott Walker, in my opinion, care about one thing, and that's themselves and what they get out of him being reelected. It's just so... I was literally crying, although I knew it was going to happen, because I think the epitome of where Wisconsin mentality is right now is to elect Glenn Grossman. I mean, I just don't understand that. The meanness of that man, and it's just there's no empathy left.
Jocelyn, let me jump in. She's obviously very upset about the election results, but let's get your reaction, Dave, to the polluters won.
Well, I think overall she's I think she's a pretty good representation of the way a lot of Democrats feel this morning. It's a pretty dark morning. Certainly the Republicans have loosened environmental restrictions. They're, in my view, going the wrong way on the mining issue in particular, but there are other things. And unfortunately, I think the caller's right in that sense. I think they'll probably continue to loosen environmental restrictions and do other things on the agenda that certainly Democrats won't like. I would say that Governor Walker, I think, is in an interesting position here. And you might, if there's any little glimmer of hope for Democrats, you might not see as aggressive conservative agenda, at least in the first 2 years, as you saw last time. And the reason is he's clearly running for president. And he has no reason to want to stir things up in Wisconsin. He already has his conservative bona fides. He doesn't need to establish those. And certainly the tone of his speech was in that direction last night. I suspect that we're not going to see very dramatic conservative moves, at least in the first 2 years of his administration. At least that's the way it looks to me this morning.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you consider the proposal to drug test public aid recipients as being dramatic?
Well, it's dramatic to me, but my guess is that it probably polls well statewide, so he may go ahead with that. But beyond that, I wouldn't, for example, think that he'll encourage a right-to-work law. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a fight that he just really doesn't want.
Let's go next to Crystal in Madison. Hello, Crystal.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Yeah, I my position was I understand the last caller about pollution. I hope that you're right. I hope that, you know, the Republicans do address that, but I think that there was a reaction to the Democratic legislature going to Illinois and sort of like taking their ball and running when they didn't get their way, and it seemed undemocratic to a lot of people. And
you think that was a factor in this midterm election, Crystal?
I do, and the recall. I think people were in reaction to that still.
Yeah.
I think it hurt the Democrats a lot.
Do you think so?
I don't. I think that that was all but forgotten. I think there were much bigger issues going on here. Certainly, President Obama's unpopularity played a role at sort of a mega level. People's general unhappiness with their economic mobility, I think, was the key to both things, which is ironic because if you look at where the income growth has come since the recovery started, almost all of it has gone to the richest Americans. And it's the Democrats who are proposing policies to try to make sure that that's better distributed. And yet it's the Democrats who took it on the chin because of people's frustrations over the economy. And that, you know, that you've got to lay that at the feet of the Democrats for not somehow connecting, somehow making the case more effectively that it's Democratic policies that will address the economic unease that people feel. And that message simply did not get out.
Carol on Facebook writes, "My greatest fears are more cuts to education and social programs." What do you see along those lines?
Probably. Again, you know, the Republicans have not been very specific about what their agenda is going to be. But certainly given the strong majorities they have, given the strong Tea Party caucuses in both houses, I think it's likely that you will see more cuts to social programs and to education.
Let's go to Phil in North Carolina. Hello, Phil.
Hi. In my opinion, it was a great evening, which probably gives you an indication of where I'm coming from. But I think the biggest problem that the Democrats faced was that it really came down to a race about Scott Walker. And I watched it quite closely, and I really had no idea where Mary Burke stood on any of the issues. I thought she was running on a platform of, "I'm not Scott Walker." And when Walker made the comment a few weeks ago that he thought that Madison voters were angry, I think he was dead on. I think that was exactly right.
Dave?
Well, certainly there's a lot of continued anger at Scott Walker among Democrats, and that's understandable. We don't need to go through the reasons for that. I think that Mary Burke did have positions on issues, but the caller does make one valid point in that this was not an election, and not just this one, but really all the elections across the country. They were not elections about ideas for the future. There was very little discussion about what candidates intended to do once they took office. It was usually relitigating their own careers, their own mistakes, things we disagreed about what they had already done. And that, I think, is a very unfortunate trend in American politics. We don't seem to talk about the future much anymore. We relitigate the past.
Yeah. So in our final minute, what's your hope for the future?
2016 is coming, and that should be a much better year for Democrats. The demographics of a presidential election are much better for Democrats, and Hispanics, millennials, urban dwellers, these are all growing populations, and they all vote heavily Democratic. So I see 2016 as still a very good year for Democrats. I think there'll be a Democratic president elected. I think there's a good chance Democrats will take back the U.S. Senate. We're going to have to wait a bit longer for much change in Wisconsin, but there is hope on the horizon.
Thanks for being with us.
All right.
Dave Cheslevich, former mayor of Madison, the executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation. We will check news, and then we will welcome in former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens to weigh in on yesterday's election results. We continue our discussion about the results of yesterday's election and asking you how you feel about how we voted in Wisconsin. Are you surprised with the size of Governor Walker's win? Are you happy with the results and the big night that Republicans had in general? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, November 5th. Our next guest is Michelle Litchens, a former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, a small business owner, and a regular contributor to our Week in Review program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, former Mayor Madison Mayor Dave Cheslevich was with us in our last half hour, and he said, the obvious, maybe, it was not a good night for Democrats. Democrats are not feeling very happy this morning. Are you feeling pretty good this morning?
Oh, I think this is a good day. This is a good day not only for Republicans in Wisconsin, but across the country. And I think when you look at what happened last night across the entire country, people in Wisconsin voted for different reasons than they did across the country, but they did it for the same reason. In Wisconsin, they were supporting what Governor Walker did. They were supporting that when you are elected to do something, if you say what you're going to do, people are going to support you. And across the country, people overwhelmingly said to what the president's agenda was, we don't like it, we don't want to go in that direction, and we want to change. And they were loud and clear about saying that.
Yeah. What about other races on the ballot, Attorney General?
Attorney General, I was not surprised that Susan Happ lost by the margin that she did. When people started to learn about her history and what she did in Jefferson County, I don't think everyone supported that. And so I think they did the right thing with electing Brad Schimmel. I'm not surprised at all about Howard Markline winning as well as he did in a district that was carried by Obama and a district that is predominantly Democrat. Howard worked very hard, and Pat Bomhack, again, you know, supported by Chris Larson, was not even the Democrat pick by the Democrat voters there in the primary. Their leadership kind of came in and took over that race, and I don't think that the electorate in that Senate district were happy about that. But Howard Markline works very, very hard, and I think he definitely votes his district, so I'm not surprised that he won as well as he did in that district either.
There was another open state Senate seat near you.
Right.
It was the former, state Senator Mike Ellis, who is retiring. A Republican picked up that seat.
Yeah, and Penny Bernard Schaber, she was out. She worked really hard. Roger Ross had represented, you know, part of that district previously. And, I think that the message this year of what Republicans were talking about wanting to do really resonated. I think the other thing we need to remember from this is that more money was spent against Scott Walker with negative ads than ever before. And so I think we need to start looking at that negative campaign advertising and see if that's really going to work. Because obviously the amount of money that was poured into Wisconsin against Scott Walker didn't work. And so hopefully we start rethinking the negative ad campaign during the election cycle in the future.
Yeah. You don't think that that there were negative ads against Mary Burke?
There were, but We know that more money was spent against Scott Walker. And, you know, when you start analyzing that race, too, I think it's interesting that when you look at the Marquette poll that came out 2 weeks ago, 60% of the people that were supporting Mary Burke were supporting her because they did not like Scott Walker. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to remember that again in the future, that you need an electorate that's excited about your candidate. You can't win just because you hate the other guy. That's not enough of a motivation to get people out to vote. So people were in favor of Scott Walker. If you saw his ad campaign, he was positive for the last few weeks on the radio and on TV, talking about what he did and what he'd like to do in the future in Wisconsin. And I think people were excited to see that, and obviously they were because they turned out and voted for him by a higher margin than they did in the recall.
Yeah, so what do you think Governor Walker is going to do with his reelection and his now the expanded Republican majorities in the state legislature?
I think he's going to do what he said he was going to do, and I think they're going to focus on growing jobs in the state of Wisconsin, making sure that we have a balanced budget, hopefully reducing property taxes for everyone in the state of Wisconsin. They have a few challenges, obviously, when we start looking at transportation, continuing to fund that at the level that it needs to be funded at. And there are so many exciting things, too, and hopefully people in Wisconsin will look past Act 10. When you look at the Neenah School District, they are giving teachers $10,000 bonuses. You know, no one was let go. People were given raises. What Act 10 was able to do, instead of just looking, at the anger and the animosity that we still have from that, from 2011, look past that and say, okay, it's the law of the land, the people support it, and there are good things happening in education because of it. So hopefully the governor now has an opportunity to share more of those good things going on around our state because the people support it.
Do you foresee any additions or expansions of Act 10?
I can't say I do or don't. I haven't heard that being discussed. I don't think people want to go down that road again necessarily. And I think it's working for local governments now. So I was proud to support it. I think they did the right thing at the time. But I definitely don't see that moving or becoming any larger.
Carolyn in Milwaukee County is with us. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. I thank you for having me. I just feel distraught, and I'm kind of baffled at the people of Wisconsin, that we want to pollute the atmosphere with mining, weak mining laws, and we want to destroy the Pinocchio Hills. We want to destroy public education, and the way that it's being carried out in Milwaukee is so unfair. On the third Friday, the people from the schools can turn over their kids to Milwaukee schools and not pay, and not the money doesn't follow the children. So the Milwaukee public schools are really in terrible condition, and it's actually, they're doing well, but they're not doing well because of what's happened. They're doing well because of dedicated teachers.
Yeah, well, she's distraught. Obviously, you can hear her voice shaking a little bit here. Why is Scott Walker going to be good for education in Milwaukee in particular?
I think it is taking a complete change of the mindset. People really need to look at those numbers. Education money was not cut, okay? We asked teachers to contribute towards their pensions and their health insurance. So the schools had the same amount of money. Now we are giving schools the opportunities to do what is best for their schools instead of going through the union to make changes. They are directly doing what's right for their kids in their school districts. So Republicans support public education, and we support educating our kids. We do not support polluting the water. You know, this is ridiculous to get that mining permit. They can't be polluting the water, and they have to prove that they're not going to do so. And if they do, they'll be closed down. Republicans don't want dirty water and dirty air. You know, but I do remember how Republicans felt in 2006, and it was hard. It was hard after that election day, and it was hard to pick yourself up and go to work the following day. So, I understand what it's like being on the other side. But I do think Wisconsinites spoke up loud and clear that they wanted to continue down the same path, and they trust Governor Walker to do that.
Yeah, and I think that, Carolyn, just a little bit back to education briefly, I think she was referring to the voucher school program. This is something that will be expanded in the coming year, do you predict?
I hope so. If you look at education this way, if you say that we have an obligation to educate every child in Wisconsin, it really shouldn't matter if that child is educated through a public, private, charter, or homeschool, if we want that child educated. So if we want to give them a small amount of money to go to a private school because the parent thinks that's the best school for their child, I fully support that. I also support the Assembly Republicans who passed a school accountability bill last year, but the Senate did not pick up that bill. So I hope to see that passed this year, where if you're going to take public money, that you do have to meet a certain level of accountability. And I actually think that the governor is going to push for that this year.
We are talking with Michelle Litchens, former Republican state representative from Oshkosh. She is one of our regular contributors to our Week in Review. We asked her to come on to give us her take, her thoughts on the election results. And we welcome yours, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Republicans are certainly celebrating this morning, and Democrats are not. We are giving you an opportunity to cheer or to vent as we are sorting out Wisconsin's midterm election results. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is normally the hour each week when we present a big question. So I guess our big question is, how do you feel about the midterm election results? We have a poll online if you want to tell us if you're feeling great or if you're feeling lousy or if you have mixed emotions. You can find that poll online at wpr.org/joy. We are talking with former Republican State Representative Michelle Litchens, and our next caller is Mark in Iron River. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah, I was just calling to say that I'm very happy with the outcome once again last night. And the reasons were covered by your guest there, Michelle. I didn't catch the last name there. I apologize. But pretty much everything she's saying, I think the state, we support that. We support what the governor's doing, and we're looking forward to the future. And I think the one point we have to look at now is I think the Democrats now, instead of hating Governor Walker, instead of hating conservatives and being argumentative, I think we need to work together at this point. And I think they have to accept the fact that this is the direction that the state of Wisconsin wants to go, and we all need to work together now and try to make positive change for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say to that, Michelle?
Well, I have to agree. And I think in Wisconsin that we've seen for too long, especially the group that was adamantly opposed to Act 10, they've been kicking and screaming loudly ever since that happened. And so maybe now it's time to say, okay, the rest of the state supports what happened and that we were moving in the right direction, so let's find some common ground. I heard on the national level the Republicans saying, you know, we need to find issues where we can work with Democrats. One of the first issues was perhaps the Keystone Pipeline, because a number of Democrats are supporting that idea. So maybe that's their first opportunity to move something forward and give it to the president. But there is so much we agree on in Wisconsin. You know, we agree on job training. We agree on supporting education, public education, and doing what's right by our kids. So let's find some areas where we agree and move forward.
Chris in De Pere is with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you, Joy?
Good. What is your thought?
My thought is basically, I think, you know, let's cut to the chase a little bit and get to the real reason why I think Wisconsin shows that the Democratic Party just doesn't get out and vote. I mean, you know, I'm not saying anything bad about Walker or Burke, but if you look at Obama, he got 1,620,000 votes plus in the last election, and more than that in 2008. So I just think that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin really just doesn't get out to vote for these midterms. And real quickly, what you just touched on, your caller or your guest just touched on, I think, you know, that same advice that you talked about for moving on and working together can be said nationally when it comes to Obamacare. You talk about the Act 10, you know, people need to get over it. Well, I think a lot can be said about that nationally, too. Get over Obamacare. Maybe we can all move on together.
Right. But I think when you get to Obamacare, I think that was actually on the ballot all across the country yesterday, because a lot of candidates were campaigning to repeal it. So although there are some parts of Obamacare that I support what Wisconsin had previously. We have a very healthy state where almost everybody was covered by health insurance. So I think we're going to have to see some reforms to Obamacare, keep some of the good things, but maybe make some reforms. But when you look at the electorate in Wisconsin, I mean, we always, I mean, we had, what, 48% of the voters turn out in 2010 and almost 79% of the voters turn out in 2012. So you'll always see a group of people that only turn out for the presidential elections because they're not fully engaged every year, year-round. They're not engaged enough to turn out in the midterms. But we can see that the people that were turned out, and it was what the highest turnout that we've had in an off-year election since the 60s. Was that correct, Joyce?
Yeah, it was. It was in the mid-50s. It was about what the Government Accountability Board predicted. The last time it got that high was like in 62.
Right.
So it was high for a midterm. But it was not at presidential level. And we had a guest earlier this morning who said that had turnout been at presidential level, it would have been a much different story, Michelle.
And that could be true, or maybe not. Maybe the electorate was just so fed up with government spending more money than it has. You know, we need to start looking at our kids and our future. Our debt is like, it's not even tangible anymore. The numbers are so large. So maybe it's time that America just sits back and says, we can't spend more money than we have. You know, we want to protect the environment, but not at the expense of our industry and our business. We want clean water, you know, but we don't want to go to the extreme. We don't want to prohibit coal energy in the state of Wisconsin, which is what the EPA is saying we're going to do, because then we're going to price ourselves out of all the manufacturing jobs we have in Wisconsin. So I think the electorate was pretty smart this fall by telling the president that they didn't like the direction he was going in, and at the same time they told Scott Walker they did like the direction he was going in.
Yeah. Dave Cheslevich, our previous guest, did say it was, you know, a dark day for Democrats, but his hope was that in 2 years, as a Democrat, things were going to be much different. He was predicting in 2016, you know, a Democratic president, another turnover of political control nationally, and for that matter, things could, you know, be switching around in Wisconsin too. Is this a short-lived Republican victory?
Well, the one thing we know, Joy, is that Republicans have this great ability to shoot themselves in the foot when they do get control. Either they push too hard, too fast one way, but we need to take a lesson from the Democrats and perhaps govern a little bit more slowly. So, and hopefully bring others along with them when they're trying to make the changes out in Washington, D.C. So this is their opportunity to say that we are not going to just stop things from happening, but we have ideas, we want to move this country forward, and we're going to listen to others and bring others with us when we're making those changes. So hopefully, if the Republicans do their job over the next year, we are going to see a Republican president in 2016.
Roy and Glenn Marsh is with us. Hello, Roy.
Good morning. Remember, thanks for taking my call. I want to really give you and your station a lot of credit. You were working marvelously with Barrett when he ran against Walker, but something happened and you won. And then when the recall came, the state capitol was overtaken by all the thugs. You were really supportive of that issue, and Walker beat that one. Now Bear comes along, and you were for her with all these polls from the progressive liberals you have on there.
Roy, I don't want necessarily to turn this into a discussion about Wisconsin Public Radio. I understand your point, but I don't know if Michelle Litchens, our guest, can really respond to your belief that we have too many liberal guests on the air. You see what I mean? But I'll give you the opportunity to take a swipe at us too, Michelle.
Oh, hey, I thank you for having me on today.
Well, that's what we try to bring on. We try to bring on guests who are have all different perspectives. And I'm sorry that Roy thinks that we were in the pocket of certain guests.
But, you know what, Joy? I'll say this. When I've done your show, it has always been a pleasure to actually have a conversation with someone from the opposite side of the political aisle. And this is something that I think we need to spend some time on as a country. You know, we tend to, Republicans watch Fox News and Democrats watch MSNBC, and you surround yourself by people who agree with you. And we don't spend enough time talking to people who might disagree with us so we can further discuss our issues, and maybe we can find more common ground than areas where we disagree with each other. So I do have to give Wisconsin Public Radio some credit for, again, you know, your show and the opportunities that we have to discuss issues calmly.
Good answer. Susan in Pewaukee is with us. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I would like to know how your guest feels about the most likely fact that the governor has just used this particular race as a stepping stone to get to the White House, and then will, you know, choose to abandon the state. And it just, it seems like,
Susan, because we're short on time, everybody's speculating that he's going to run for president. Michelle, is he?
He says he's not. And actually, if you talk to his staff, that has really gone on the back burner, and they don't believe he's going to either. I do think this. I think that, and as we all know, the Walker race was a national target. The AFL-CIO said he was their target, and they, you know, went all out to try to defeat him. The entire country was watching what happened with the Scott Walker re-election this year. And I think he has given others the courage, perhaps, to do more in their states to balance their budgets and not always be so concerned about the re-election. I do think his success yesterday in a very purple, if not blue, state is going to cause other people across the country to try to recruit him to run for president. So that's a decision that he is going to have to make. But honestly, I don't think that Scott Walker today is thinking about running for president.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Michelle Litchens, former Republican state representative from Oshkosh, a small business owner, regular contributor to our Week in Review program. Let me thank Bill Martins, my producer of this morning's programming and all of our election-related programming, including the candidate forums. And thanks to Christy Taylor, who is on air producing this morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.